Ja, dan wordt dit Finish Guitar Masterclass nummer 6. De laatste. En ik heb er ontzettend veel zin in. Het wordt ook een beetje een speciale. We hebben een aantal hele leuke masterclasses achter de rug, al zeg ik het zelf. Maar we gaan nu, ik zal mezelf een klein beetje meer in het licht zetten. Volgens mij is het zelf beter. Deze hebben we genoemd Mistakes and Obstacles. En ik vind het een heel interessant onderwerp, omdat we vaak geneigd zijn om ons over onze successen te praten. En wat minder geneigd naar waar we fout gaan. En wat we van die fouten leren en dat we die fouten kunnen delen. Want misschien hebben veel meer van ons daar mee te maken. Ik zal deze masterclass half Nederlands, half Engels doen. Ik zal soms ook een beetje wat dingetjes in het Engels zeggen. Als er dingen zijn die niet duidelijk zijn of onduidelijk. Of ik ben er niet duidelijk over. Omdat mijn Engelse taal daar de wensen over laat. Let me know. Je kan het ook altijd eventjes chatten. Voordat ik Lienor Oren ga introduceren. En ik ben echt ontzettend blij dat ze meedoet. Want ik ga straks ga ik haar eventjes op een goede manier introduceren. Althans, op een uitgebreide manier introduceren. Maar voordat ik dat ga doen, wil ik eerst eventjes Luc aan het woord laten. Als jij jezelf kan muten, Luc. Want er is iets speciaals aan de hand. Je hebt afgelopen week auditie gedaan in het conservatorium in Den Haag. Klopt dat?
Kijk. Dat klopt, ja.
Ja, nou kan iedereen je horen ook. En kan je daar iets wat over vertellen?
Ik toegelaten tot studie Art of Sound.
Ja, dat heb je pas geleden gehoord, hè?
Ja, dat heb ik begin van deze week gehoord.
Ja, ik vind dat we er eventjes een online applausje voor mogen geven, want je hebt er echt onwijs hard voor gewerkt. Ja, ik vind dat heel tof. Het was geen makkelijke weg om daar te komen.
Klopt, inderdaad. Heeft even geduurd.
Wat zei je?
Heeft even geduurd.
Heeft even geduurd, ja. Ja, maar je ziet aanhouder wint, hè?
Ja.
Ja. Of zoals de bouwvakkers bij mij hierachter nu al maandenlang bezig zijn. Geen overwinning zonder strijd, zeggen ze altijd. Dat is het. Nou ja, heel tof. Jij gaat gewoon de opleiding doen die je al die tijd al had willen doen.
Ja, klopt.
Ja. Dus, ja, dat vind ik heel leuk. En dat vind ik ook. Je hebt 2 jaar geleden al een keer auditie gedaan. Die heb je niet gehaald. Toen heb je vorig jaar ook auditie gedaan. En tegelijkertijd ook bij het HKU. En daar werd je wel aangenomen. En toen heb je dat 1 jaar gedaan. En die zit je nu trouwens om nog af te maken. En dan ga je er vanaf september beginnen bij je favoriete school.
Ja.
En Noah, jij zit ook in Den Haag, toch?
Ja, klopt.
Nou ja, wie weet komen we elkaar wel eens tegen.
Het zou kunnen, inderdaad. Ik weet ook met de CASE, dus de soort van jaarlijkse schoolconcert, zou je kunnen zeggen, dat we met dus een muziekopleiding doen. Ja. Er zijn dan altijd Art of Sound studenten die daar zo ook aan meewerken voor het geluid. Ik weet niet of ze dat in het eerste jaar ook al gelijk doen, maar dat zou grappig zijn als ik moeilijk volgend jaar dan ook tegenkom daar.
Ja, dat zou leuk zijn inderdaad.
Ja. Tof hoor. Dus je hebt er al, heb je er goed op gedronken?
Kijk, ik heb het wel 4 vrienden inderdaad.
Ja, cool.
Op afstand.
Ja, ja, op afstand. Ja, het is niet anders. Hey, maar tof man. Ik wens je onwijs veel plezier.
Yes, dankjewel.
En wij blijven elkaar natuurlijk nog wel zien in de tussentijd, maar heel tof. En dan gaan we nu vanuit een succesverhaal naar mistakes en obstacles. Dus dat zit soms heel dicht bij elkaar. Lienor, it's time to introduce you. I'll do this in English to make it more comfortable for you. a couple of months ago, probably 1 year ago already, by accident, I saw a reaction video of you about Freddie Mercury on Live Aid. And actually, I'm not in this kind of reaction videos, but somehow I watched it, and in a few minutes I was sold. I mean, the way you, and I know you because you're my voice teacher now, so I know you better now. But the first impression was so good. And you have like, you're really a master of your, you say yourself you're a voice expert, and I really think that is. And, but you're also very, very human and with a lot of compassion. And I wasn't used to that because in conservatory or maybe it's the guitar world, I don't know, it's much more harsher. We have a tendency to put each other down, you know.
Yeah, it's even maybe even something that subconsciously students are looking for, is a teacher that will put them down, because it's like, you know, if this teacher will give me his approval or her approval, then I made it, you know. Yeah. Then it's okay. But or you know, if the teacher just tells me, way to go, good for you, then they're probably just, you know, brushing me off, you know. That was my feeling as a student. So
mine too.
I encountered a lot of mean teachers, and some really, really mean teachers. And at a certain point, you know, when you become a teacher, you have this fork, you know, in the road, when you have to realize, okay, I'm actually automatically doing what my teachers did because that's what I know. Or you can just, you know, choose a different way and say, no, I'm not like that.
Yeah. But if you're in conservatory, for example, or if you have like a day, a weekly lesson, it's hard to go your own way and have, you know, your teacher's way in the same time.
No. Yeah. I mean, later on when I became a teacher, I had to consciously realize that, you know, that it's very easy to follow the method of your teacher because that's what you've been taught.
Yeah.
So I had to consciously not do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to do that too. It's, but you know, we talked to each other on the phone this week to go over this masterclass, and we already said we can maybe do like 4 or 5 masterclasses out of this concept. Yeah. Because we have so much in common about all of this. Yeah. So let's dive into this. I suggest ik stel voor dat we een aantal verhalen gaan vertellen uit onze eigen ervaring als student, maar ook, en we zijn Lienor en ik zijn ongeveer zo'n beetje 20 jaar nu professioneel muzikant. En we zullen iets uit eigen ervaring vertellen over hoe wij als student. Anyway, I see myself as a student, still as a student, but anyway. Hoe wij dat ervaren hebben, maar ook hoe we zaken ervaren hebben op onze scholen, op de manier zoals wij, als a teacher, as a coach. En we willen jullie ook een paar kleine opdrachtjes meegeven. En ik wil meteen met een opdracht beginnen. Gewoon om jullie een beetje uit de consumer mode te halen. Om niet alleen schuddebuikend, lachwekkend over onze persoonlijke dieptepunten te kunnen lachen. Maar ook te kijken waar het met jullie resoneert. En waar jullie tegenaan lopen. So my first question is, and we talk about it later too, but just think about it for a couple of minutes. What are your main worries? Ja, waar maak je op dit moment eigenlijk het meest zorgen om? En dat kan zijn dat het juist heel erg je dromen zijn, waar de lat misschien heel hoog ligt, of waar je angsten liggen, heeft het te maken met dat je een carrière in de muziek wel of niet ambieert en of je daar succesvol in gaat zijn. Misschien ben je het al, maar of je met je band door wil breken, heeft met beroemd zijn te maken, heeft het te maken met dat je toch eigenlijk wel tegen een soort angst op het podium, stage fright, zeg maar, podiumangst aanloopt. Ja, misschien heeft het ook te maken waar je zorgen om maakt. Terwijl je een soort droom hebt, terwijl je dan toch tegelijkertijd ook een soort gedrag vertoont om het soort afwijken, hoe noem je dat? Ontwijkend gedrag. Dat is postponing behavior. Met andere woorden, eigenlijk misschien wel de grondgedachte, ben ik goed genoeg? Kun je eens kijken bij jezelf. Als je het wil, mag je het ook in de chat zetten, zeg. Dat hoeft niet hoor, want ik besef ook dat het best wel persoonlijk kan zijn. Dus doe dat niet op het moment dat je daar niet goed over voelt. Maar check bij jezelf eens van, wat is eigenlijk mijn grootste zorg? Waar loop ik het meest tegenaan? En ik geef jullie eventjes een minuutje om daarover eventjes over te denken. En then we start with some personal stories. Misschien kun je dat zelf voor jezelf ook opschrijven. Dus niet eens, dat hoeft niet in de chat hoor, maar ook gewoon voor jezelf eens opschrijven. Dat is nog misschien beter of directer dan dat je het nu voor jezelf verzint. En dan so Lenore, what shall I do? Shall I start with a personal story, or will you share some points of your own?
Yeah, you're the leader. I can tell my stories whenever you like.
Well, let me dive first in. I think this is my main story, and I will do it in Dutch. We talked already about it on the phone, so I think it's a little bit clear already for you. For mij was. Nou ja, was, maar misschien ook nog wel steeds is, maar het is in ieder geval een stuk minder. Ik had heel erg het gevoel, zeker toen ik met muziek startte, en ik kom uit een niet-muzikaal gezin, had ik heel erg het gevoel, ben ik wel goed genoeg? Ben ik wel goed genoeg als een muzikant? En dat is heel makkelijk gezegd, en maar het vertakte zich in heel veel, eigenlijk soms hele subtiele, kleine dingetjes die eigenlijk op zichzelf beschouwd niet eens zo heel erg erg waren of zo. Maar alles bij elkaar opgeteld was het een soort fundering, waar het was een laag waar het uitkwam, wat mij als ik daarop terugkijk, gewoon eigenlijk helemaal niet goed heeft gedaan. En ik zou je een drie voorbeelden geven, drie korte voorbeelden die daar allemaal. Het zijn drie verschillende situaties en het zijn allemaal voorbeelden waarin ik, als je het allemaal weghaalt, gewoon puur in de kern dacht, ja, maar ik ben gewoon niet goed genoeg. Om een voorbeeld te geven. Ik wilde naar het conservatorium gaan. En ik had ik had een leraar en die zei op een gegeven moment, oké, nou, ga je in het conservatorium, dan moet je ook solfège en theorie gaan doen. Ik dacht, ah ja, is goed, doe ik er even bij. Doen we dat een paar weekjes en hebben we dat ook onder controle. Maar dat was dus niet zo. En ik was eigenlijk al hartstikke laat. Want je moet natuurlijk zo'n beetje anderhalf jaar of twee jaar ben je mee bezig. En ik moest het eigenlijk allemaal in een half jaar, of zoiets, drie kwart jaar, een half jaar doen. En solfège houdt in dat je moet gaan zingen. En ik stond 's morgens om 6 uur op. En dan ging ik van 7 tot 8 aan een piano ergens in een gebouwtje waar ik dan later ging werken. Want ik werkte van 8 tot 12, had ik een part-time job. En van 7 tot 8 ging ik daar solfège oefeningen doen. Dezelfde solfège oefeningen waar ik de meeste van mijn leerlingen hier ook mee treiter tot op het bot. Dus al die oefeningetjes moest ik gaan doen, van blad zingen. Vooral het boek Pozzoli, dat kennen wel sommige van mijn leerlingen wel. Maar ik vond het zo eng. Ik vond het zo eng om te doen, dat ik echt om 7 uur het hele gebouw afliep om te kijken of er geen andere mensen waren. En dan zat ik achter een piano, zat ik vaak over die piano nog te kijken of er geen andere mensen waren. En dan durfde ik een klein beetje te gaan zingen. En na een paar weken ging dat wel iets beter, maar dan kwam ik erachter van ja, als ik dan begin op de grondtoon, on the root, en ik zing ba-di-da-di-da, en ik kom weer terug op die C, de grondtoon, dan was die weer te laag. En ik vond dat ik dat gewoon moest kunnen, want iedereen kon het. Maar ik heb keihard gewerkt, ik heb het elke dag gedaan, en het resultaat was dat ik het haalde, dat ik mijn auditie haalde. Ik kon naar het conservatorium in Zwolle toe. En mijn leraar, die had mij de hele tijd niet gehoord. En die zei, zo, die was hartstikke enthousiast. Maar mijn reactie was, terwijl ik het conservatorium gehaald had, hè, mijn reactie was, ah ja, dat doet iedereen toch? Dat hoort toch? Dat moet toch kunnen? Dus ik durfde ook helemaal niet trots op mezelf te zijn. En gewoon steeds vanuit het idee, ja, maar ik ben niet goed genoeg. Of een ander voorbeeld. Heel vaak, na afloop van een gig, zeker als een gig lekker ging en ik was aan het spelen, en er kwamen reacties van mensen en die dan hartstikke enthousiast waren in een kroeg. En die kwamen naar me toe en die zeiden van, ah, gaaf gespeeld, gaaf avond, leuke band, wat voor pedaaltje is dat, kun je die en die. Maar met name als ze dan zeiden, hey Vincent, super tof gespeeld, gaaf. Het eerste wat ik dacht, dat zei ik niet, maar ik dacht het wel. Ah joh, je bent dronken. Hm. Je hebt gewoon de hele dag, de hele avond in de kroeg gehangen. Je hebt gedronken. Je bent dronken. Het kan nooit serieus zijn dit. Wat zonde is, want zo iemand die komt naar het concert kijken, doet daar moeite voor, doet zelfs moeite om na de hand nog even een praatje te komen maken. En ik zit het dan eigenlijk in mijn hoofd weg te serveren. En natuurlijk zei ik heel beleefd, thank you, dankjewel, tof. En lulde ik een beetje mee. Maar in mijn hoofd zat dat wel. Gewoon als eerste, een soort stevaste reactie. En als derde voorbeeld. Ik kan me nog herinneren dat ik met een aantal jongens van het conservatorium waren aan het opnemen in Rotterdam. En we hadden een opnamesessie. En het was een beetje stroefjes. Zoals veel opnames zijn natuurlijk op het moment dat daar dat rode lampje gaat branden. En ik ga, in één keer hebben we dat moment dat we losgaan en het loopt. En die bassist zegt na de hand, ah shit man, wat heb je tof gespeeld. En ik geef als reactie, ja, maar ja, Stevie Ray is beter hè. Want zo dacht ik. Alles wat niet, voor mij was Stevie Ray Vaughan mijn held. Ik vind nog steeds een geweldige gitarist. Maar als ik niet in die buurt kwam, wat ik nooit kon, want dat is gewoon, nou ja. Ieder persoon is anders. Maar, en dan moest ik ook nog het level halen van zijn allerbeste optreden. Hè? Want ik weet ook dat hij ook slechte optredens had gedaan. Maar ja, die kijk je niet. Je kijkt altijd de beste optredens. Dus als ik dat level niet had gehaald, ja, was ik niet goed genoeg. En dat is zonde, want dat haalt, als ik op terugkijk, het is wel menselijk, denk ik. En het is ook ergens een motivatie om door te gaan. Maar dit haalde me gewoon naar beneden. Ik haalde mezelf naar beneden. Dus. This is my story of not being good enough. Ik worstel er nog steeds wel een beetje mee hoor, moet ik eerlijk zeggen.
Can I ask something about this?
Sure.
You said that it brought you down.
Yeah.
In what way do you think it brought you down? Like, did it actually bring also your guitar level down, like your actual playing level?
Yeah, because if I approach it more like having fun, and because not being good enough basically means that I care about what other people think. And if you don't care, then you're more free to play, to take risks.
Yeah.
And to be more in a moment and to accept what I mean. In your head, there are always like 1,000 things that go wrong because you know what you could do, but on that moment you cannot, or you're not able yet, or it's not your day, or you have an off day, or whatever. So that pulls it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So I can also tell basically one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my singing life. I was training for about, I think, 8 years, 7 or 8 years, and I came from Israel to Berlin, found a very good teacher, and started working with her. And I thought that I was okay. I thought that, like, my level was good. Of course, you can always be better. But I got a lot of good feedback from the college when I was studying. So I thought I was doing great. And then I came to that teacher and she showed me in the lesson basically what my voice can sound like. And it was not in the same universe. So basically, like, quadrupled the amount of power and volume and richness and easiness of the voice. And of course, you know, in the lesson, it's momentary things. She gives me a trick. She will be experimenting and suddenly it's like, blah. And I realized, oh, fuck, I don't know anything. That's basically what my first conclusion was. I don't know anything. I thought I could sing, but I can't. I need to get this now. So it's a little bit like what you're saying, like whatever I was until then, that's not going to be good enough for anything. So basically I'm not going to step on stage again until I reach that level. And I shut the door in my practice room. I started practicing, I went to lessons, and that's all I've been doing for 2 years. So for 2 years, I did not audition, I didn't perform. I think I sang one song at a friend's wedding. That's what I sang, and I sang in workshops with my colleagues when we were all students, which basically means I was in a student mode for 2 years without any experience, any additional experience on stage. That turned out to be the worst thing that I've done, because I should have known that, because I come from a place of a very, very bad stage fright. So I know what it's like to be on stage and that it's not the same body singing. It's not the same abilities. It's not the same voice. So what happened after 2 years, I started auditioning again I was a beginner again. So it took me 2 years to sort of start being happy with the results that are coming out. And I thought, okay, now I can, you know, maybe go and show that to people and, you know, get some jobs. But I forgot about that fact that on stage, you don't really demonstrate all of your abilities 100%. You know, if you're lucky, it's 80%. And if you haven't done that for 2 years, then it's more like 50%. So it felt like I was not really showing my new level at all. So I really felt like a beginner again. And to mix it with a little other mistake, which is that I kept being negative in my practice, it really reminds me of your story, actually. I wouldn't really take credit at that point, at that period of my life for anything. It was never good. And if I achieved something, I would be happy about it, but I would immediately say, okay, well, I need this to be consistent. And also I need all those other things. And then, you know, I'll be happy. So that never, of course, that stage never came. So in this whole mentality, becoming a beginner again after 2 years of the hardest work, and really finally feeling like I achieved something, that put me down horribly. So that introduced new frustrations, and it was heartbreaking. I can't really describe it otherwise. I had to basically start all over again. I had to, you know, practice auditioning and practicing singing on stage, singing in front of other people and getting better at that. And at the same time, also keep improving my voice, because you always have to do that. And that was really, really hard. At that point, I was already 2 years older, which is, you know, shouldn't be a problem, but that's another mistake that I had when I was thinking about my age all the time and how I'm too old for things. So that didn't help. So that's what I did.
And did you tell your teacher at that time this story? did she or he know that you were dealing with this?
I don't think so. Maybe I did, but my teacher was very clear always that she is not a shrink. Her job is to teach you voice, and then if you have problems, you go to a shrink.
Yeah.
So I mean, she would, you know, she would hear me out, but she would just say, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you have to work on that or whatever. I don't really remember us having a serious conversation about that. But my teacher was very, like, one way, working on the voice quality aspect. She was not even into performance or like the body work or all the things that I'm trying to integrate in my lessons, because I know that one cannot do without the other. She would just send me to another teacher to work on that with.
Yeah.
So she had her one thing, you know, that she would do. She would do it very well. But,
Well, from a teacher kind of, from a teacher's point of view, it's really great if you can achieve with a student to open the voice and you know, so that's really a great achievement. And yet it still had that powerful negative reaction. So.
Yeah. Because it's a very intimate thing.
Exactly, yeah. And that makes probably singing even more than playing guitar, because you have a guitar in front of your belly. So that's it's really a total thing. Everything comes together.
Yes. Yeah. And as you say, it can have a really positive effect. It can be therapeutic and make you feel a lot better, but it can also make you feel negative feelings more intensely.
Yeah.
Because you're opening yourself up completely. That's the goal of singing.
Yeah. And it can be very overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I think from my colleagues, I don't know many who didn't cry at some point.
Yes.
That happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember. Luke, don't listen. Luke, don't listen now. Because you're just going about into conservative. But my... when I was in conservatory, I was feeling so small every day. And some of my teachers were, well, they were good guitar players. Well, not even that. I remember a guitar player who was very good or well known, because otherwise you won't make it to the guitar department. But I didn't like his playing. I didn't get it. I didn't know what he was doing. Mm. And also, I had another teacher. I just didn't get it. I was a blues player and they were playing jazz, and I just didn't get it. And years later in Amsterdam, I met Ave Albers, who is a very well-known, one of the best Dutch guitar players. And it all became clear because I heard Ave Albers playing and I understood that.
Hmm.
It was clear, it was absolutely wonderful, good timing, good, great phrasing, everything was there, personality, everything. But I also knew instantly, I asked him also because I wanted to know if I was right about it. I asked him, did that teacher study with you? He said, yeah, he was my student. I said, yeah, he was my teacher. But I like your playing better. And he says, yeah, I can understand that. So my teacher was just copying someone. And
That could be maybe like a general mistake that teachers make when they're not clear for the student, like when they display their abilities and how good they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not accessible. So the student doesn't know, how do I get from where I am to this?
Yeah. And I just told you that I have that basic feeling of not being good enough, and that only fat, it feeds to it. So yeah. I will tell you another story about a student. I won't mention his name, but I have his permission. So. I had a young student, and basically it's about the same thing. And all of a sudden he said, I want to go to conservatory. And he started working very hard. And instead of taking 20 minutes lessons in 2 weeks, he got 1 hour every week. Then he came to solfège and théorie lessons, so ear training and theory. He didn't like it. I know, because I discussed it with him and I saw it. Although I thought he benefited from it, but that was not his. He didn't feel this way. But he did it because he wanted to go to conservatory. I also gave him band coaching, and he had a band with a great drummer who was a friend of him. And he worked his ass off. His mom told me at several points he was only, when he came home, he went in his room playing guitar everything was guitar, guitar, guitar. He had some great gigs at some great places. People start talking about him. So it all went good. Put a lot of effort in it, but it went good. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the summer break, I was somewhere in Czech Republic or whatever. He sent me a text message and he said, I quit band coaching. I quit solfège and theory. But I will continue doing guitar lessons. And I was shocked. Just a small text. And I asked him, are you sure? And he said, yes. By the time he was about 15 years old. So I saw him at the guitar lessons and we didn't talk about it much. I tried to, but you know, it was a no-go issue. And after a few weeks, he said, I went to a conservatory. I saw people play and I know for sure I cannot make this level. I'm not good enough. And he said that in a way that he was very sure about it. And he wanted to do something else. So the whole conservative thing was off. And that was a relief. And he started, from that moment, he started to play better and better and better. And then I had a lesson. I remember I was at a piano. I'm not a pianist. I just play some chords. And he went crazy, start soloing, and he went off, and he was free and flying. And he had fun. He had so much fun. And when he was done, he said, yeah, this was good. And I smiled at him. I said, you know what you said about, you know, like a few months ago after summer break? And then his whole face went, fuck, yes, I remember. Wow, those two feelings are just so far away from each other. So that was really a breakthrough with him. Even if you're very, I mean, I think we all have that. If you work very hard, and especially into music, because it's very personal, it's very, very personal. So if you're not having you don't have an off day, you don't have an off week, maybe you have an off month, or maybe even an off year, and you start doubting, and so yeah, that it can be very, very hard. But to see his face move from being so excited into, oh Jesus, I know what I felt, and I know that, you know, it can change. Everything can change.
Yeah, and how he stopped himself.
And how he stopped himself. And not believing he was good enough. Yeah. And maybe he wasn't good enough yet to go to conservatory.
Yeah.
And then again, do you have to go to conservatory to be a good musician? I don't know.
I think there are enough examples in the world to suggest that not necessarily.
Joe Cocker didn't go to conservatory. Jimi Hendrix didn't either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Madonna didn't either also. So I don't know. But I'm way on your territory now.
Well, yeah, you know. That's a different topic, you know. Madonna is she had a good moments, but she's not the best singer in the world, and yet, in a way, she is. So she doesn't need our approval. Let's just say it like that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that's that's something that's food for thought. Maybe that's also food for another masterclass.
Yeah.
Like how to. But that actually that connects a little bit to the next story that I have about the mentality or the way you perceive yourself. But someone like Madonna, like today, she's still on stage and her vocals are very, very limited, to say the least. And she's still, you know, she's still Madonna. So that feeds into the not caring thing. And then just, you know, if you decide basically that you're a professional, then you have, well, you have a chance. If you decide that you're not good enough, that you're not a professional, you will always be in the, what I call the student mode. And that's not good enough for the stage for sure. And just that mentality is what at the end of the day makes a difference between a professional and, and an amateur. But that mentality, that negativity is something that I have, experience with the most my life. And that's something that, you know, it's very, very common. Most people are very critical of themselves, and especially when it comes to singing for some reason. But I think it's like that in music. If you decide that you want to take your music seriously, suddenly it becomes from this, you know, great passion to a great burden, because you just, I don't know how to say this. Like, so many people choose to go through that journey, making it more difficult on themselves. Maybe because they think it will help. Yeah, if I'm hard on myself, if I have high standards, then I will get very far. But the opposite is the case. Like, you're going to get enough hardship in music as it is. And what you don't need is your own negative thoughts. They basically are just down to earth. I'm talking like really straightforward here. They're just a waste of time. So they're not helping you at all. And to give an example, I want to also use a student, of course, anonymously. Well, I have this student who is middle-aged woman. And she has studied before she met me for about a decade. So she studied 10 years with other teachers. And she wanted to be an opera singer. Well, not necessarily a professional one, but she wanted to reach a professional level. And when she reached out to me, she basically said, the main thing that is on my mind now is that I don't understand how that happened. How did I spend 10 years trying to get my voice to professional level and I'm not there? I'm like not professional at all. I'm not like, not even close. And then we started on lessons and I very quickly realized, you know, just the technical issues. I realized what happened and probably her teachers didn't teach her correctly. But that's, you know, very unfortunate, but that was one part of it. The other part was that she would spend most of the lesson just asking those big questions. So I want to sound like this singer. How does she do that? Like, how does she have this effortless, like, and when I try singing in this octave, it never works. So why is that? And I want to sing in this style. Is my voice like that? Is it suitable for this kind of style? I was like, well, I don't know, honey, because we haven't freed the voice yet. We don't know what the voice is capable of. She's like, okay, I get it. And then she would ask more and more those existential questions, like, Why can I not sing properly in front of people? Why can I? So she was basically wasting the time of the actual lesson. But then I also realized that at home, like, and she had all the intention of getting to a professional level. This is her dream, still is. But instead of, you know, going home and basically doing what the teacher says and practicing, you know, what the teacher recommended. And I gave her a very clear plan and very, very focused instructions. She would, you know, keep sending me, you know, those questions, you know, maybe on the next lesson, we can analyze this video and you can tell me how they do that, because I don't know if my, you know, if I can do that as well. And how, yeah, so it's basically, it was a whole mess in her head, and she was not actually doing the thing. She was busy worrying, when will I get there to like my goal? And how do I get there? And why can't I get there? And she couldn't get over that. And, you know, it bothered me a lot, especially because I recognized that on myself. So as I said before, like if I would, you know, for example, just an example, get better at closing my vocal cords, right? And I have more chest resonance, we call it like a chest voice. I got that a little bit better. And then I would say, yeah, but okay, how do I do that in the opera style? Because opera style, you have to have chest and head, and you have to mix them up all the time. So I can't use the chest voice like that all the time, right? But I should. Yeah, I should do that first. Yeah. Establish that, and then learn how to combine that with the other things. But I was already worrying about how am I going to get the perfect, the final product. And in general, like I worked with a colleague once, and she was closer to my age, closer to my level, but a little bit more advanced. So I asked her, all those tricks that we do in this, you know, in this school that we are, we both study with the same teachers, all those tricks, you know, they work magic, right? But eventually, you know, you want to just stand up and sing. Like, you're not going to do the tricks. It's just, is that just going to come automatically? When is it going to come automatically? And she said, yeah, eventually it comes automatically. No, it doesn't. But never mind. She said, yeah, it comes automatically. No, you learn something, you learn what it does, and you learn it well enough that you can do it without the trick. But that has to be a process on its own when you don't focus on anything else. And that's something that I just couldn't do. I didn't know how. And that made my process a lot longer than it should have been.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. Yeah. The moment that I decided to leave that voice out of my head, that I should be better, I should be there, I am already practicing for 10 years, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I decided, okay, let's just focus on one thing.
Yep.
And one thing only. And whenever I get in that kind of anxious state or maybe slightly panic state, that's okay. I'm going to focus for 2 months or 3 months on only this issue. And that was where the magic happens for me.
That's really curious, like what made you decide that?
Oh, I'll tell a story in another masterclass already, but in short, Scott Henderson is a guitar player that I admire a lot. And I think he's one of the best guitar players in the world. And especially at that time. And I had a private conversation with him. I was in the backseat of a car together with him for about 2.5 hours. And he said to me, he looked me in the eye and he said, if you do this, and he named a very simple exercise. If you do that, and he told me, and I still can remember those words exactly. This is a quote. Practice this, you'll be light years ahead of guys who didn't do it. My first reaction was, okay, Scott, I know you're in my point of view, the best guitar player in the world. But I don't know if you know this. I already did conservatory. Hmm. I know a bit. And then that very tiny voice in my head said, okay, Vincent, that's really true. You already did a lot of years of practicing. You went to conservatory, blah, blah, blah. But you're not really satisfied about your playing, are you? Just give it a chance.
Yeah.
And the next day, I went outside my house. It was a sunny day. I was in a chair, putting my guitar, and I did that exercise. And in a few seconds, I start crying like a baby because I realized that this is what I wanted to do. This I knew right there. Just practice this. You'll be light years ahead of guys who didn't do it. Yeah. I just had to do it. The only task that I had to do right there is practice this every day, every single day of my life. Because that's where the inside of the guitar was. And the funny thing is that I start practicing, and then I wrote him an email, and I said, about that exercise that you told me about yesterday, by the way, which I thought was too simple for me, can I simplify it? Because I think it's too hard to do. And he said, yeah, sure, that's no problem. You won't get that richness if you put other notes in it. But yeah, sure, start with that. So I already changed it into my exercise. And I can tell you, I did that a long time, and I didn't see him for a year and a half. And when I saw him, he was blown away. He told me, I said, what happened? I said, I just told you, I just did what you told me to do. I was focusing on one very tiny detail. I was only playing a G7.
Mm.
I was breaking the chord down G, B, D, F. That was it. I was trying to pick all the notes on the neck.
All right.
But it took a master. It took a master to tell me that. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was my that. So I think it's the same story. Just get that voice out of your head and focus on one tiny little detail.
Yep.
And have fun at the same time.
It is fun though. There is nothing really, I'm not joking. There's nothing more fun than actually getting some results. If you just scattered and you're doing one thing and then you jump to another thing and then you're trying to put them both together and then you try to add a few more things, you're not going to be satisfied. It's not going to be fun. No. It's going to be frustrating. You're going to bang your head against the wall. And I'm, of course, talking from experience. So when you do that one thing, you after a while, you're starting to get it. And then you start seeing light.
Yeah, and it starts feeling normal.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I think I can handle that. Yeah.
I want to ask a question to all of my students now, or to everyone who's in the group now. Can you relate to this story? Or is it something vague that we talk about? Or is it something that you think it's also an issue in your life? Kun je daar iets, schrijf het anders voor jezelf op. Of geef het anders een rapportcijfer. Van wat we net op het eind zeiden. Dus alleen maar focus op één ding. Geef het voor jezelf eens een cijfer in hoeverre je dat aan het doen bent.
I can see that Mark is trying to connect to the audio. Maybe he wants to say something.
Is that true?
No. Maybe it's just...
Okay, no, it's just... Mark, kan je je duim omhoog steken als je oké bent? Cool. Thank you, Lienor. Lisanne zegt, I can absolutely relate to it. And not only in playing, but also my studies and helping others and many things. Okay, yeah. En Martin zegt, ik herken het helemaal, dus 10. Ja.
Are the participants, you probably they come from you. Yeah. All right, Nadia is mine. But are they all or not all? Some of them are working towards a profession, I suppose.
Yes.
Good. Then maybe if we have a time for a next story, then
sure, yes.
Something about that.
Yeah, it's 9 p.m. right.
Do you want to read the Tom's chat?
Tom says, I can relate to it in the sense that the more you learn about something, the more you realize these are things you don't know. Yeah, there are things you don't know. Yeah. So you have to go back to the basic every time.
Yeah, at the same time, if you want to eventually go on stage, whether you're a professional or not, you need to also be able to put yourself in a different mentality than I still have so much to learn, because there is something healthy about that, about knowing that you can always get better. And, you know, Vincent said he's still a student. That's, you know, that's a very constructive thing, yeah? If you think that you know everything, it's probably not going to get you far. On the other hand, when you're about to go on stage, that mentality is not going to help, because you're going to think, oh, I'm just, you know, incapable of doing so many things. I'm just a student. You know, I'm not good enough, and nobody wants to see that. So you should work on sort of like a switch in a mentality before a performance, which says, what I have right now is not just good enough, it's really exactly what I need. That's what the audience came to see, and pay 150 euro tickets for. And that kind of mentality will probably also make your performance better in any, like, in any aspect. So that's just, you know, a little tip here.
Yeah. And that works. And it also works, it helps working on that. You can teach yourself at home, seeing yourself in that kind of situation that you are in your favorite venue, which is packed, and they all come to see you.
Yeah.
And
being super enthusiastic and into it, and yeah.
And that's then the songs, and yeah.
That's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Because it gives you just a little bit more of a drive.
Yeah.
And having said that, you know, if you have also the technical abilities to do that, and that is why you have to study every day, or at least as much as possible, to drill all those technical elements in, so you're free to express yourself.
Yes, yes.
It's like we're doing now. You know, we're talking and we prepared a little bit, but we master the language, and that's why we can communicate. And that's why we can drive in this conversation and it's hopefully great to listen to, you know. So if you do that on stage with your band, and you're just with your friends, having fun, while having prepared all the other stuff, what can go wrong?
That's definitely a good recipe.
We're not a brain surgeon. If we do something wrong, that patient doesn't die.
No.
The only ego will hurt a little bit, but hey.
It will probably hurt less than the damage we did to it in the past, regardless.
Yeah.
So at least in this way, you have an actual chance of having a good performance.
I'll check some chats and maybe we can, because I want to give you guys another little task. Mark says 4. That means you have 1, 2, 3 already, or did I? I don't know. Maybe I missed something. Every day I play, I make progress. Good. As long as I have that feeling, it's okay. Yeah. That's really productive.
Yes, but don't be discouraged if you have an off day here and there. It's not a problem.
Martin says, I think that you have to be yourself and realize that it is really fun to make music, and it's nice that you can enjoy people with your playing. Yeah. Yeah. I once had a guy in the audience, he was a poet, and he told me something simple, and he said, wouldn't it be nice if there's just one guy in his audience who goes home after seeing your show, and he had maybe a fight with his wife or girlfriend, but now he has that lot of positive energy, and he just, even if it's just for 5 minutes, he's nicer to his wife or girlfriend. I mean, that's great, right?
Yeah.
That's a small contribution that we can do.
For sure.
Voordat we nog een paar verhaaltjes gaan vertellen, zou ik iets van jullie willen vragen. Gewoon tot nu toe, de verhalen die Lienor en ik verteld hebben. Voor Nadia, I will do this in English. Nadia is... I didn't see you coming, Nadia, but it's great that you're here, because we are in the same group. We are in the workshop of Lienor every Friday, having lots of fun. It's very productive. So I will do this in English. What is it that triggers you the most in the stories that we just told you? I mean, what can you relate to the most for yourself? And it could be about a mindset, or it could be about being successful as a professional musician, or about your music career, or about your band, or to get noticed, you know, beroemd te worden, or to get gigs, you know. So what triggers you the most in these stories? If you want to share it in the chat, that's okay. If you just want to chew on it for yourself right now, or maybe later, because maybe that says something. Lenore says, the things we are talking about can be seen as the imposter syndrome, actually. I don't know that term very well.
No, it could be. The imposter syndrome is... Oh, yeah, maybe. I'm not sure, actually. I don't remember exactly what that means.
She says, very well known amongst academics. We're not academics.
Do you think that you're not good enough, you mean?
Can you explore that a little bit, Lisa? What is that imposter syndrome?
Well, it's it's like the thinking pattern that when others say that you're good, that they are lying to you.
Sorry, say that again.
It's that when you did something and others give you compliments, say, well, well done, or was great, or cool, or whatever. And then that would exactly what you said, well, your first thought was that guy was drunk. No, that he's just saying it to please you, but he doesn't mean it or something.
Yeah.
That is what's amongst academics, is this term is mainly used for that. But I think it's also applicable here now.
Yeah. So maybe
I remember actually after I started the reaction videos on YouTube and they became successful, then my reaction to that was, well, it's just because people like reactions. It's not a true success, because, you know, it just happened to go viral. So now I'm successful, but it's not successful because I'm so good or something like that. So that would be an imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just made me think of this term, and maybe people can use it or look at it if they want to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to let compliments in.
Yeah, probably. Very long, deep conversation about why that may be, but maybe better if a psychologist would have that conversation.
Yeah, and we just start practicing every day.
Yeah.
To get better and have much more fun. Yeah.
Why? Well, not such a helpful question. Why? No.
Yeah.
Not helpful.
Tom says, the sometimes uneasy feeling of not knowing how far you will get. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you're never there. There's always more to learn. I remember, you know, I told about Scott Henderson. He came in Holland and he opened my school 10 years ago. And he did a workshop that was by far the best workshop I've ever seen. And the house was packed and everybody was so positive. He rocked the jazz guys who were there by playing stuff. And I had a student, a teacher from conservatory, he was there, and his jaw dropped on the floor, and he called me up the day after. He said, I still cannot believe what I saw. This was the best thing I've ever seen. And when he ended that phrase, that thing in his workshop, there was a guy, he said, yeah, well, that's a lot of jazz. Do you know some blues stuff as well? And he started playing Led Zeppelin, and all the rock and blues guys were like, what the fuck just happened? And when we drove away, we just left the building, and he said to me, yeah, when I'm back in the USA after this tour, I think I'm going to see that teacher in New York again. And I realized, wow, also you want to get better every time. you're never satisfied in a way that, I don't know, maybe he too is not comfortable as in his playing. He told me once, yeah, I think I'm in a kind of level that I never really ever suck big time. And I thought, like, what?
Yeah, that the very best, whenever I hear them, they always say, I never think it's good. I always think it can be better.
Yeah.
But the point is they don't let that waste their time.
Yeah, it's, and it maybe triggers you to get better. Oh, yes. Nadia says, thank you for the wonderful webinar. I have to leave, but I will listen to the record. Have a nice evening. Yes, Nadia, thanks for coming. It's great.
Bye, Nadia, thanks.
Yes, it says, interesting, Lisanne. I've never heard of it, but I looked it up. I know this feeling too. The feeling of how higher or better you get, the deeper you can fall. It sometimes stops me from doing what I like the most. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So guys, you're not alone. I think that's the main purpose of this masterclass. You're not alone.
And it might not go away, but that's okay. Because as we said, the best of the best have those feelings too. And
yeah,
what basically will determine a failure or success of someone is if they let that hold them back, those worries and those, you know, doubts and self-doubts. They're all very human, and maybe we can't do anything to shut them up completely, but we can decide, okay, I heard that, thank you.
Yes.
Now let's move on.
Yeah. And if you are aware of that, life starts getting more easier in that way. That's my opinion. And then, do we have some time left? Yeah, because, you know, with there's another story I want to share with you. It's kind of a hard story. It's a very sad story, but I learned a lot from it. When I started my school, I wanted to focus on students that are really into music. And by the way, guys, alle studenten die ik hier heb, alle leerlingen, en ik zie dat jullie er nog steeds zijn, en ook de afgelopen masterclasses, dus ik vind echt, ik bof met jullie. Ik vind jullie echt geweldig. En dat zeg ik misschien niet zo vaak, maar ik vind het echt heel tof dat jullie leerlingen en oud-leerlingen zijn van mij. Dus dank je wel daarvoor. Ik ben echt heel, heel blij mee. Dat wou ik eventjes kwijt aan jullie. I had a student, and he was probably my worst student ever. He didn't practice at all. He didn't have a progression, obviously.
By the way, I know this story because you told it to me. So if you want, you can tell it in Dutch.
Okay. So, die jongen, die ging gewoon niet vooruit. Maar hij was er wel elke week. En op een gegeven moment, toen gebeurde er iets ergs met hem. Althans, met zijn moeder. Zijn moeder werd ernstig ziek. En wat we toen geprobeerd hebben, is om op Guitar Day, maar dat was nog in de tijd dat we in Maasdijk zaten, toen hebben we geprobeerd om daar een spektakel voor hem en voor zijn moeder voor elkaar te krijgen. En zijn moeder wist dat en de buren van hem hielpen en of van haar buurvrouw die hielp met nou, het was echt een beetje een team omheen, want we wilden daar iets, echt iets moois van maken. Dat was ook emotioneel ook redelijk beladen. En zij heeft het, die middag zei ze van, het lukt me niet, ik ben te ziek, ik kan niet komen. Uiteindelijk kreeg ik, want ik werd elke keer gebriefd en elke keer heb ik dat nummer, zeg maar, later in de setlist gezet. En uiteindelijk is ze wel gekomen en ze zou dus alleen voor dat ene nummer komen. Maar ze kreeg zoveel energie van alles, dat ze 4 nummers gebleven is voordat ze naar huis ging. En het heeft ze ontzettend goed gedaan. En haar zoon, dus mijn worst case leerling, tussen aanhalingstekens, dat zeg ik expres omdat ik daar straks een punt voor, ik wil naar een punt toe gaan. Maar ik weet niet wat er gebeurde, maar hij heeft nog nooit zo goed gespeeld als toen. Hij vloog werkelijk. Hij zat te spelen, was trots, zat om zich heen te kijken en op een moeilijk gedeelte waar hij in de les altijd misging, kreeg hij nooit voor elkaar, zat hij het gewoon rustig te spelen en knipoogde hij naar zijn moeder. Ja, het was super tof om te zien. Maar goed, die moeder overlijdt op een gegeven moment. En ik ging naar die begrafenis en die jongen die staat voor een volle zaal. Met ja, die kist ernaast, wat een heel raar, want die jongen die was 12 of 13 of zo. En hij wil een woordje gaan doen en hij slaat helemaal dicht. Hij kan niks meer zeggen. En het enige wat hij er nog uitperst werkelijk, is dat hij zo mooi gespeeld had op de leerlingendag. En op dat moment had ik echt zo'n gevoel van, ja, maar waarom ben ik nou bezig met alleen maar de allerbeste studenten te krijgen? Waarom ben ik bezig met alleen maar daarop te focussen? Voor die jongen is dit zo belangrijk. Hij zal op gitaargebied niet veel leren, maar op de een of andere manier hebben we samen een klik en heeft hij naar iets toegewerkt op zijn manier en dit was voor hem super, super, super belangrijk. Dus het gaat niet altijd om succes, weet je, om iets te behalen. Het proces daarnaartoe is ook net zo mooi. Ja? En in dit geval heel waardevol. En hij is op een gegeven moment van les gegaan. Ik heb hem nog een tijdje op les gehad. En op een gegeven moment ging hij basketballen en dat vond hij veel leuker. En elke keer als ik hem nu nog tegenkom, ja, dan hebben we het erover. En dat is natuurlijk gewoon, ja, heel waardevol. Ik vind het een heel waardevol en mooi verhaal. En ik ben heel blij dat ik dat heb mogen meemaken. En dus ja. It's not always about success.
No, I think that's also for most people not the reason why we go into this. We don't go into music because we want to be successful in music. We go into music because of what it means.
Yeah.
For us.
You want to express yourself.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's another good thing to write down. Why are you into music? Why are you doing this? Why are you putting so many hours into it?
Ja, yeah, it's a good one.
Schrijf dat eens op. En misschien op momenten dat het zwaar is of dat het tegen zit, kun je daar een beetje jezelf mee troosten. It's kind of a heavy masterclass, actually. You guys are still okay?
Finished with the... With a dark story, maybe we can tell a lighter one.
Yeah. Maybe we can finish off with a lighter story. And guys, if you have questions, just ask them on the chat. If you have questions for Lenore. Would you like to tell a last more? A light story?
Yeah, I can maybe tell something that is less heavy, and just could be maybe a motivator or food for thought for people who want to be professionals. I know there are quite a few here. Something that I didn't realize while training to be a professional singer. So that basically my dream was to be a professional opera singer. And the idea that I had to do that is to get a bunch of lessons, get really good at singing, and then audition like crazy and someone will give me a job. That's not how it works in the music business. It's not how it works in show business in general. And opera apparently is not different than just any kind of show business. If you're an artist, and specifically if you're a musician, you are a product. You are your own brand, so to speak. And to be successful, you can get discovered right away and be a Cinderella story, but that's probably not gonna happen. So what's more probable to happen is that you will establish what makes you special. You'll establish skills that you need to have as, sorry to say that, as a business person. Because you need to be a business person if you want to succeed in show business. And I did not know that, or I did not want to know that. There's so many skills that I needed to have back then when I was trying to get into the market and I didn't have them. And as a result of that, the struggle to get into the market was excruciating. And eventually I got very little back for very, very, for a lot of effort. So I gave everything I had. I gave all my finances, all of my time, all of my energy was put into trying basically to make it in the business. And I got some projects and I got to sing a little bit, but eventually I was struck out. So I was not... It was not for me, basically, because the way I was back then, I was not that kind of brand. I was not the kind of business person that I was supposed to be. So just to list a few things that, you know, that I was really, really bad at, and that was really at my expense, literally, was first of all, finances. Yeah, so I felt like artists, they don't have to be good at finances. They don't have to care about money at all. They just have to do the art. No, because everything in your art will cost you money before it will make you money. So if it's, you know, recording your own demos, if it's getting your lessons, if it's going, you know, for auditioning, traveling, anything that, the photo shoots, whatever, these are things that you need. You just need that if you want, eventually, if you want to go and display yourself on the market and hopefully, you know, get hired or get, you know, get going. So knowing how to manage your finances is important, very, very important. Not to mention the fact that, you know, if you are... if you're a musician, you're probably going to be, at least some of the time, freelance, which means, you know, you're going to have to, you know, worry about what happens when you retire and so on. So, yeah, you need to know that. You need to know that stuff. So you can channel, basically, you can channel your resources accordingly. The other thing is that, you know, that making yourself a brand, that's something that, that's a skill that I didn't have. That's basically, it comes down to marketing And it sounds, I don't know, it sounded to me back then as something really boring. And I hated that. I was like, I'm not a business person. I don't do that. I just sing. So good luck. Not really, because if you are going to hopefully, you know, look for an agent or look for, you know, go audition into theaters or whatever, I don't know how it goes with guitarists where you audition, but whatever it is that you're trying to get into, basically what you're saying is that you're hoping that somebody will give you your success. And well, it's up to them then. It's not in your control. If you work on being your own brand, that means that you make sure that you have materials of your own, you have recordings of your own, you have a website, you have, you're initiating concerts for yourself. That, you know, basically that, first of all, that makes you active. And second of all, that gives you something to show for when eventually, you know, hopefully somebody will hear that and will like that. But just going in and auditioning is not good enough. You need to have an established sort of like archive or profile to show for. And you need to keep yourself active if other people are not going to give it to you. Otherwise, it's spiraling down from there. So they don't want to give it to you because they didn't see you perform anywhere. And then you're not performing anywhere, so nobody else is going to want to give it to you either. And then you get also less good at performing in general, and just that's just no good. So marketing, finances, and and the most important thing, which eventually I got, and when I got that principle, that also got me some jobs. That was the maintaining connections. So it's way more important than reaching out to a venue and going in and displaying your talent there and hoping to get a job. If you know people, and you know, friendships of course are much better than just connection, just knowing someone and asking them for favors. That's really not necessarily how it works. Like, you know someone and then you ask them, well, can you get me jobs? But if you are in the front mind of people, then eventually, you know, someone will be somewhere and they will know that there is a vacancy or they're looking for a guitarist, and then it will say, yeah, I know this guy or girl, you should check them out. And it's really, really how it works most of the time. So, you know, that's just something that you have to do. You have to be in touch with people from the industry, and preferably, you know, maintain good connections in friendships, and yeah, and just be in it. Don't try sort of like poke holes in the wall of the market and like beg, you know, can somebody please give me something? But just be there. Be present with other people who do that, collab with other people, and, you know, and be active and be your own brand. That's basically what I'm saying. Had I known all that, had I had all those skills 15 years ago, then I would probably not have the life that I have right now, which I'm really happy with my life, by the way. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. That's the bottom line. But I would probably be more successful singing-wise. Like, I would be singing a lot more than I do now.
Um, I want to show that to you, because what you're talking about now, I'm going to share my screen with everyone, because I'm going to your page, Lienor, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, okay.
Because then you can see, this is her website, singwell.eu, and I think this is a very, very good website with tons of information, with very good instructive videos, with, it's very clear. There's also reactions from students, and it's just any kind of reaction, but really well thought over reactions. This is not to promote yourself in a sort of mindless way, but this is promoting yourself in the core that you are. You're very open in it. And that, you know, when we started this masterclass, I told you about the reaction video and the compassion you have with Freddie Mercury in this case, and yet be very clear about, you know, professional about how he sings, so this is who you are. This shows in your website. You got singing lessons here. You got online courses. You got me into yoga, and a lot of tutorials. So, and also you have also a corner about speaking well, not only singing well, but speaking well. So there's tons of information. So
yeah,
about
thank you for the promotion, but it really goes into what I said about creating a brand. Is that why you showed this?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
this is to show. This is, you know, to give an example about. Of what you are telling, I think this exactly. is a great.
Well, I ended up doing all of that for my studio, like this, creating the brand and the marketing and all of that. Just basically putting what makes me as a teacher, as a singer, just displaying that on the website and making it, of course, as personal as possible, because that cannot be duplicated, right? Mm-hmm. So that, of course, contributes to your brand if you go really personal. And my about page is about me having daddy issues. So really, I'm really going a little bit over information there. But yeah, this is what people are looking for when they eventually decide if they're going to come to my studio or not. If they like my personality, if they like my approaches,
yeah,
like the fact that I'm, you know, doing yoga, if they like the fact that I'm, you know, that I have a blog and I put, you know, all the information out there. So that's, you know, that's what musicians should do.
Well, we have to trust, you have to trust your teacher. I mean, I had, you know, I'm singing with you, so I'm a student, and after I came from Poland, I had a tour with my band, and we finished in Poland, and so that was about August, I think, last year, so about 6-7 months ago. We had quite a heavy discussion because I was at a point of putting a lot of energy in my voice and trying to become a more professional singer, or hiring a professional singer for my band. And I remember writing you a very honest email, and I got an email back in which I knew that you understood me completely. And you were very honest. Not trying to sell anything, but just being honest in some things you don't know. You know that when you're a good singer or not, you know, depends on how free your voice is, and so all those kind of things that builds up trust. And that says it also, being a brand, I have to work on that, because if I show you my website, it's not good enough. There, I said it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you are at the position now when you have to pick and choose people, you know, to work with you.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it can also be a two-way street, right? They have to decide if they want to work with you. So if they had, like, hypothetically, if you had a website where it was very clear who you are, what you sound like, what you look like, what you are like, and they like you, that would raise the chances of them
that's true,
coming on board. So that's just, that's the point of a brand.
Yeah.
People recognize that and they say, oh, I have a good feeling about this one.
Dus de gunfactor. Even kijken. Remarks, I can watch my program on television, so our band to make music. Yeah, that's a very practical way. I did actually look at your website before I called you for the first time, Vincent, so I guess it is good enough in some sense. Yeah. But I'm not investing in that like Lenore is doing. But yeah, thank you. It's about time. So there's one thing I want to show you very quickly. We talked about a lot of heavy stuff, actually. And I'm going to share my screen again with you guys. I can show you the link as well. I came across this website, thehealingmind.org. And it's about this guy. I don't know if you can see him. Marty Rossman, and I like his way of dealing with stress and anxiety. This is actually the first thing that I saw of him, and I want to just show you a little bit, just a minute. This is 1.5 hours about how your brain can turn anxiety into calmness. And it's not about not worrying at all, because we're human and we worry all the time, and that's what we do as a human, and that's very effective as well. But it's more about how to use it in a more efficient way. I like what he does. I do a lot of meditation. It's called guided imagery. That I do that a lot, almost on a daily basis, and I really like that. It also gets me more in contact with my body. Anyway, I'll just show you just a minute so you see him and what he does, and then you can determine for yourself whether or not you want to watch this, the whole video.
Mr. Gray, but a lot starts in the imagination. Worry is a function of imagination. If you didn't have an imagination, you wouldn't be worried. That's what lobotomy is about. That's what certain medications are about. So we used to joke at the Academy for Guided Imagery, you know, that if we could find a simple, non-toxic way to do an imaginectomy, we could resolve everybody's worry, stress problems, and you just wouldn't be very worried. You wouldn't do much either. You wouldn't be creative, you know, you wouldn't be worried if we could do that. So I think, rather than taking your imagination out, what we want to do is learn how to use it better. And so a lot of what I'm going to share with you about worrying well, or worrying more effectively, has to do with how you use your imagination. So worry and stress have a lot of overlap.
Okay. Eric, you stood here. Dus daar, nou ja, dat, daar vind ik hele interessante dingen in zitten. Nou ja, misschien heb je daar wel aan. I think it's time to close. Do you want to say something, Lenoor? Is there something that we didn't discuss, or?
These were not all of my stories, but no, that's. I think we touched a few important points.
Yeah.
And the main point is that. You know, professionals also made mistakes in the past, and the teachers/leaders/role models are not necessarily there because they were just successful all the time. Sometimes it's, many times it's the opposite. So keep that in mind if you think, you know, that because something is, you know, going wrong or something is difficult, or you realize at a certain point you made a mistake, then don't conclude from that that it means that you can't go very far into what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, about thinking about, talking about thankfulness, dankbaarheid, of compassion, and that all comes from that place, you know, from having struggled with it in the past and overcome it, or maybe still being with it and thrown back once in a while. So, yeah. So in the end, it's a positive story, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at us. We're doing okay.
We're doing okay, yeah. And and again, my students are very eager to learn, and that's why I'm really happy with them. And I see a lot of success, but also a lot of hard work. And that motivates me as well, because I'm in the same league. So.
Sounds like a road for success.
Yeah. Thank you, Lenoor. It's really great having you here, and it's really inspirational. Thank you.
Yeah, I was also I enjoyed it very much, and also your stories are quite staggering. You can learn a lot from that.
Yeah. Well, I feel it also translates in the music. I think if you hear great musicians play, and it touches you on some kind of level. I mean, every great musician that I like Bob Marley when I was younger, and Steve Ray Vaughan and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin. If you read their stories, you know, the biographies or the stories behind it or documentaries, you see a lot of effort and struggle and searching, looking for, you know, it's not one way to success. There's a lot of things happening, and also geluk, so coincidence, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but those are interesting people.
Yeah,
making interesting music.
I think there's a lot, of course, a lot of luck, because there is just so much going on, you know, in our lives that we don't expect. But in essence, you know, if you want success, there are ways, you know, to get there. And actually, how do you define success?
Yeah.
If you get to, you know, to be a celebrity, is that the only way to be happy with your success, or are there other ways? That's a question that you should ask yourself.
So again, what's your goal? Yeah. For me, it's to be on stage and touch other people in their heart and their soul, and at the same time, giving my heart and soul to the audience. And that's my motivation. Okay.
I completely believe 100%, unless you lack talent, which you don't. And I don't think anyone here, if you passed a Vincent filter, I don't think any of you lacks talent. if you have the talent, talent is part of it, and then you go and get the other skills that are necessary for being a professional, you're going to be a professional. As long as you don't let all those things that we talked about today get in your way, slow you down, and waste your time.
Yeah, and ask for help. You know, if you're stuck, or get a group around you that you can fall back on. Dat je in een warm bad terechtkomt met vrienden en met mensen die je om je heen hebt. So get a good team around you. Guys, are there any questions that you want to ask now? You can ask me later as well. I mean, it's been quite a rough subject, maybe. If you have questions in the next week or the next month or whatever about what we talked about, just ask me. Anyway, I think it's time to close. En dat betekent dat we 6 masterclasses gedaan hebben. Ik heb er echt ongelooflijk van genoten. Ik vond het heel leuk om te doen. En ik kan me geloof ik niet voorstellen ik vind het zo'n geweldige manier om dit te eindigen. Dus thank you again, Lenore, for sharing your stories and being so personal and honest.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. And thank you guys for being here and listening. And I hope you learned a thing or two.
Yeah, have a great evening.
Yes, guys. Thank you. I'm going to end this meeting. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Lisan.
Oh jee, er zijn nog heel veel verhalen hier. Ja, leuk. Wauw.
Ja. Now I have to decide if I'm going to do my daily walk or if I'm going to skip it today.
Well, here it's raining very hard.
Oh, so it could be raining, actually.
It's really hard.
That's my debate.
So do it. Go outside and... It's even better when it rains, exactly. That's a good title for a song.
Cheers.
Hey, baby, let's go.
Yo, cheers.
Choose not to go. No.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. So see you again on Friday.
Yes, I'll see you. That was fun. Thank you for that.
It was really fun. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a great subject.
Yeah.
Good.
If someone gives you feedback on it later, just let me know. I'm curious.
I will.
But yeah. I think they could use it.
I think so. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe we can do it once in a while, or I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fun. It's really fun. Okay.
Okay.
Now.
No.
See you Friday. Bye.